Now, are all the traitors present? Let's get started, shall we?
From rags to riches.
I'm so sick of this.
Working like a dog and being treated worse.
Yorkshire to New York.
We're climbers, you and me.
A life dedicated to revenge.
Let's make this an occasion to remember.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
Some people go through hardship and it breaks them. Others go through hardship and somehow they rebuild. But what happens when someone goes through everything? A devastating accident, abuse, losing everything. And instead of giving up, they choose to help others. Today's guest has lived a story that most people would not survive and turned it into a mission. Martha Hoy is a nurse, author, humanitarian, and the founder of Mother Martha Family Foundation, helping children in Uganda. Martha tells her story, and she's going to start here. You know, when you look back at life, Martha, you know, I just want to get right into it. You know, what was the moment where everything changed?
The moment that everything changed was the car accident. I was rear-ended at a high speed, and people passed in that accident, and I was left in a hospital bed, and my only view of the world was the white tile ceiling.
Yeah,
that was sort of the catalyst that changed my life very quickly.
You know, what did that moment do for you, like mentally and emotionally? Because that was huge. You know, something like that is so traumatic on a person, you know, mentally and emotionally. You know, how did that change you?
It changed my whole perspective, because at the time I was in college, I was going to school to be a registered nurse. I was young. I had just was newly married. My life was, you know, ahead of me. We were building a home, you know, and then to go from being healthy and walking around and being hopeful about the future of all of these things above, you know, in front of me, to being in a hospital bed and unable to walk, it completely changed my perspective and my life.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You also went through an abusive relationship. Like, a lot of people listening may feel trapped in a situation like this. I know for a fact, because many people have written in and had talked about this. You know, a lot of people feel trapped in situations like this. What gave you the strength to actually leave?
Purpose. I had been helping orphans, children in Uganda since 2014. And I had to literally run for my life. I grabbed a suitcase and I ran for my life from my home in West Virginia. I knew that if I just kept thinking, I have to continue what I'm doing, because if I don't, who will?
Yeah.
And in the end, that's who saved my life. Because when I ran with that suitcase, it was three of the young men that I had helped in Uganda that took me in and kept me safe right outside of Minneapolis for about 4 or 5 months until it was safe to restart my life. So not only had I had helped them, they in turn also saved my life.
Wow. You know, when we go back to, you know, the question about mentally and emotionally seeing something traumatic like that when you were in the accident, you know, how were you able to like move forward and cope? You know, while we were talking, that just like popped into my head and I had to ask, because a lot of times when people have something so traumatic happen to them, you know, it changes their thought process. It changes their behavior. It's very hard. People get stuck in life. Like, when you see something traumatic, especially when you lose the people you love, They can't get it out of their heads. They can't move on. They feel stuck, mentally, emotionally. It just stays there from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed at night, from the moment they react, it stays in their subconscious. Sometimes it affects their behavior. Like, what were some of the steps, that you took to, overcome? Like, in the beginning, did you see changes in your behavior? And then if you did, how did you start to work on yourself to get yourself to start moving forward in life?
Well, that's difficult, when you can't move. I had many surgeries. My face was reconstructed. I even lost who I was. My entire face was different. Surgeon that knew me before the accident, who gave me my face back. So I actually lost my identity in many ways. How do you deal with that? For me, it was one moment at a time, one day at a time. And I was determined during that. Again, it was purpose that kept me going because I wanted to finish nursing school. It was my dream to become one of the people on the other side of the bed that was helping others. So I used that as motivation. Now, some days you went 2 steps back, some days you took 10 steps forward. Every day I had a goal. Today I'm going to walk to the mailbox. Okay, so if I didn't make it, then the next day, okay, we're going to walk to the mailbox. Ooh, we got to the mailbox, right? Because I had surgery on both knees. I graduated to a cane. I even gave my cane a name. His name was Harvey. That's why we with each other. I felt like we needed to be friends. And so it was that mindset. I had a very good mentor who called me up and said, I want to send you a book. And she sent me the book, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And I read the book and I called her. And she said, what are you going to do with this, Martha? What are you going to do with it? She was like, I see that you have a couple of options. You could lay there and you could play the victim. And you go through the grieving process. It was a massive trauma. I had survivor's guilt. I had all these things, But she said, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to lay the victim or are you going to do something with this? And I thought, if Viktor Frankl can go through the worst concentration camp of World War II and take all of that bad and turn it into something good, I can do the same. He did it. So it was a day-by-day process. It's not always. Now that I look back, there's one thing that I would have liked to have said to myself, or someone to say to me, is don't be so hard on yourself. Because we all heal at different rates. We deal with things in a different way. I look back, I think, well, I was really tough on myself. So now the doctor that treated me during that time, his name is, I can't think I can say his name, Dr. Lewis. And when I returned back to West Virginia, that's where this accident happened, that I call him up and we have coffee. We meet at the hospital and I said, hey, Steve, remember when I was in the hospital bed? You didn't think I would ever be a nurse. You didn't think that I would do these things. And here I am. I'm Mother Martha in Uganda. So I did graduate nursing school 2 years later, and I became one of those lifesavers on the other side of the bed in the actual hospital that saved my life just 2 years before that.
That's amazing. Like, did you ever feel a sense of depression? Because a lot of people, when they go through something traumatic like that, they get very depressed. A lot of people even give up on life. The suicide rate for going through, traumatic events, such as the type that you went through, the suicide rate is very high. How did you go through that moment of depression? Did you go through that moment of just almost wanting to give up? Because, when people go through such a traumatic event, they wake up every morning and it's like, I don't feel a purpose anymore. Why am I here? I don't want to live this life. Did you go through something similar? And if you did, how did you overcome that?
Well, I think yes, of course, because like I said, I went from being a healthy young woman, doing what I wanted to do. My life was promising. There was full of hope, and then all of a sudden now, I had went through many, many grueling surgeries. I couldn't function as we do, right? I couldn't go to the store, I couldn't do the things. I had to have help with things in my daily life. So of course there were moments, yes, when you think, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. How can I go on? This is, and I think keeping hope, and again, keeping that purpose in my mind that today I'm going to get a little bit stronger and to a little bit more, even if it's one step, right? One step. So keeping that mindset is what kept me going. Was it easy? No, of course not. I was very blessed to have wonderful neighbors and friends that kept me sort of connected to the world, because again, if you're at home, of course you have the internet and you have television, you have all those things. But to have human connection, because I couldn't go out and socialize. Fine, they would come over and bring food and things like that. So that helped tremendously to keep that human connection, somebody coming in and checking on you and just saying, I care, and showing them, showing you the compassion. And that was a big help.
That's amazing. Do you think positive thinking played a big role? Did you like, because some people, they'll take every negative thing and they'll try to pull something positive out of there, because then they'll say, well, this made me stronger. This gave me more resilience. This gave me knowledge. This gave me wisdom. Did you try to look more on the positive aspects? And do you think that something like that also played a role in being able to overcome some of the obstacles that you went through and not get stuck and move forward?
100, absolutely, absolutely. And not every day was like that, not we don't none of us every no one wakes up every day with rainbows and unicorns and all, that's just not realistic. But absolutely. And now looking back, I'm grateful for it, and I know that sounds very strange, but it all made me who I am today. Because had I have not learned those lessons, and it made me very courageous, brave. I learned to stand up for my, not only can I stand up for myself, I can stand up for others. So now I think, now I'm Mother Martha. I'm this, I never really liked that nickname, but it's cute. The children at the orphanage, the young. They gave me that name many years ago. They called me Mother Teresa, and I said, please don't give me that. I don't I'm no saint. Please don't call me that. So it landed on Mother Martha. Now I'm brave enough to get on a plane and go to Africa by myself. I have met Jane Goodall. I've done all these things, and would have never had the wisdom or the courage to do those things before.
So, this is one of the most powerful parts of your story. So when you were helping orphans in Uganda, but when your life fell apart, they helped you. So can you tell us exactly like what happened more in detail?
Well, how the children helped me, my sponsor child, he is now no longer a child. He is grown up. His name is Jeffrey, and I was helping him go through school. Friend in Minneapolis adopted his brother and brought him to the United States. And how it became about was, after I recovered from the car accident and I became a nurse and I went back to work and things seemed to be going in the direct in the right direction. All the things that I had dreamed about before in this car accident were now rolling out in front of me, right? I was a nurse, I had the job, I had the house, I had the, but then sometimes trauma puts a magnifying glass on the cracks in our lives. And when that happened, it surely did that in my marriage. Okay. So it got to the point where, it was just an unsafe thing. These young men that I had helped, as soon as I told them what was going on, they were like, "You have done so much for me. You have done so much for our country. What, how can we help you?" And I trusted them to this point. Now, I told you that I had to run for my life with just a suitcase, and that's exactly what happened. My life story can be found in the book Becoming Mother Martha. So I grabbed a suitcase and I ran out the door. I made a loud noise because the gentleman that lived across the street was a sheriff. And I got in my car. I had no place to go. My family, that's another thing about abusive relationships. Sometimes people don't believe you. And no one believed me. So I had nowhere to go. I just got in my car and I started driving because I knew staying was not an option whatsoever. Staying meant nothing good. A little ways, and I pulled my car to the side of the road, someplace where I felt safe. And I thought, who in the world can I trust 100% to call and they will understand and listen? I called my sponsor child, Jeffrey, in Uganda, 7,000 miles away. I did not know what he could do, but I knew I could trust him. And the first thing he said was, "Call my brother in Minneapolis, the young man that my friend had adopted." He said, "Brother, we will help keep you safe." So that's what I did. I found a friend who lived a few mile a few hours away, and I went to stay with her for a few days until we can get things put together. And I went to Minneapolis. That's how that transpired.
That's amazing. There are so many people that are trapped in abusive relationships and they are terrified to leave, or they are afraid, they're afraid no one's going to believe them, and or they're afraid they're going to get hurt if they leave, or they don't feel worthy enough. They feel that, they deserve this, believe it or not. What do you have to say to those people who are stuck in these abusive relationships that, really deep down inside, they don't want to live this life anymore, but they just don't know what to do. They're either terrified, they feel trapped, and they're just afraid, they're just terrified for their life.
And I would say to them, I understand that because I lived it. It's kind of like if you put a frog in a pot, the scenario, and then you keep increasing the temperature, and that's sort of how I described being in an abusive relationship. You don't really understand. You can't really see. It just they gradually and gradually and gradually until you're so deep in it that you lose who you are. And that's what happened to me. I say that I was a shell of a human being when I got to Minneapolis. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know because when you live in an abusive situation, you live on eggshells. You don't know what's going to cause them to explode. You can load the dishwasher wrong in their mind, and then there's a whole thing. You could be hurt, you could be abused, you could be, So that was really when I got out of it. It was, I got on a plane in Charleston, West Virginia, to go to Minneapolis after I ran with this suitcase. I left my life behind. Everything that I had ever known, had, I left it behind.
Right.
Scary, because I was going to a city I had never been,
Yeah.
going to live with people I really didn't know.
Yeah.
But the alternative from that was much worse than anything that could I knew that could have been forward. And I
Right.
knew a friend that had adopted the young man was trustworthy,
Right.
known her for a long time. We were doing charity work together in Uganda at the orphanage. She lived not too far away. So I knew that there was a trusted person on the other end of this. Yeah, it was kind of scary. I remember sitting on the bench in the St. Paul, Minneapolis airport with my little suitcase. Now that I look back, I think, who was that person? I was frightened. You're thinking all the time, are they going to come for me? Are they going to do things to me? Because they certainly came. You go through all of that. You think, was it me? What did I do? But it's not. It's not you. They are doing what they're doing, not because you're less than, because they're trying to suppress you, right? So now that I look back at that broken person that I was sitting on that bench at the airport, going to a city I had never been before, living with people that I had not really met, and now completely different. And I'm very grateful for them, and eternally grateful, because if it wasn't for them, I might not be here today. So that fueled me to continue the work with children, because not only had I had helped them, they had in turn saved me. So that fueled everything that much more.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. Now, at some point, you stopped just surviving and you became someone, people now call Mother Martha. What does that name mean to you?
It means that for me, at first I didn't like it, because I felt like they were putting way too much pressure on me. Don't put this kind of pressure on me, honey. At first I didn't like it. I've become used to it, to be even remotely considered something like Mother Teresa is a great honor now. And so I've embraced it.
A lot of people go through trauma, but not everyone turns it into purpose. When did you realize I'm supposed to help others?
I realized that I was supposed to help others when my friend, I told you she adopted a young man from Canada, and I had been working with someone from the church, and we were helping children in Brazil, and we were doing this and that, and I got a phone call from her, and she was like, "Well, I know you're enjoying what you're doing here, but I think that you would really, like to help over here." And when I met these children, and they stole my heart, and they still have my heart, and that was the moment that I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
You know, You now help children and communities in Uganda, but what are the biggest challenges they face?
Oh, well, that we could write a book and a movie and everything else about that. The biggest challenges that they face are economic, poverty, healthcare, basic services. So what we are doing now is we are working with the elderly and the widows' children in the Kuman region of Uganda. And the challenges there are, we've had people that are have stage 4 cancer that can't get treatment or medication or hospice services. Food is a big thing. Medical care, children going to school, school fees. And I always say, educating one child in the village can change everything. Village. Yes. So there is a lot of things. There's political violence in the streets. Uganda has a lot of issues going on. For us, it's the vulnerable, the elderly, the widows, because once the husbands have passed, it's very difficult for them to make a go of things.
And how does that even help? Like, making small changes, how does that help their lives over there?
If you don't have what to eat, how can you do anything else? The only thing on your mind is, how am I going to get food? So usually that's the first thing. But education is the biggest, because, as I said, give the whole give a man a fish, you're teaching the fish. Yes. So with that, if we educate one child, that changes everything, especially for their family and for their community.
100%, 100%. Now you went from nurse to survivor to victim of abuse to now a leader, a humanitarian, an inspiration to others. How does someone rebuild their identity after losing everything?
And I did absolutely lose everything. Car accident, I lost, like I said, even my face was different. How I functioned was different. Running for my life from the abuse, I lost everything. We had a beautiful home, we had this and that. And it's just things, I understand that. But again, it's also a loss. And that's something that you have to deal with. How do you do it? Again, you just do one step at a time. You take the first one. You don't think far out. Don't think all these green lights have to be there. Because if you start thinking too far out, you're going to be afraid. You're going to do it. You're not going to have the courage. Just think, today I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and that's how I'm going to get there. Steps forward. And for me, the most difficult thing, things and material things, you can get those again. It's not a big deal. But for me, the most difficult healing part was my family not believing, not taking my side. That was the part that took a while to heal, because I went to my mother and said, this person is hurting me, this person is injuring me in my home. And for someone who has mother, as known as Mother Martha, someone who wants to protect and care for others, my mother to say, that was difficult. But we have now mended our relationship. And I'm very grateful that she is still here. My father passed away in 2023.
So
My
sorry.
cancer treatments. This is the third cancer. She is now in remission a third time. So I'm very blessed that we now have a good relationship, and that now she is healthy.
How did you get over that betrayal? And how were you able to forgive? Because that's one thing I hear a lot of people, people who come on the show and they talk about it, and then I will get a lot of letters from people because forgiveness is a very hard thing. You could talk about it, but when you feel betrayed by someone, especially someone close to you, that's supposed to be your mother. And and in our head, our mother is always supposed to be there for us. And when they're not, or if they don't believe us, we feel betrayed. How do you how what were some of the things you did to let go and to actually be able to forgive and move forward?
Oh, that was not easy because I kept thinking, how could she? Even if you would hurt one of the children at the orphanage, I would be upset. It was difficult for me to forgive because it was difficult for me to understand that mindset. But again, I have some great wise mentors, and I was upset about it one day. And a friend of mine said, well, you have to realize what your mother has been through. Because sometimes when other people have been abused or went through these things, they have difficulty with it. And that's when I started to make peace with it because I didn't realize, as I said, my father passed away. And he wasn't the nicest person, let's just put it that way. So I didn't realize that she also had gone through similar things that I had went through. So there was a cycle going on there. Realize, because I left home at a young age, so I didn't really see a lot of that growing up. But it was there. My brother's older, so he saw it. So now I had a different perspective of why she didn't stand up. She didn't stand up because she had lived the same abuse and she couldn't stand up for herself. Me.
Very true. Very true. Sometimes when we take a step out of the box and we start looking at the other what other people have went through in their own life, then we can understand why they said what they said or why they did what they did. Because, their own life, their own childhood stories, their own adulthood traumas play a big role in who they are and why they react the way they do. And, sometimes at first we don't see it like that. But then if we look at their life and then we think about how, if we were in their shoes, how would we be? And then we realize that that's why they are the way they are. That's why they said the things they said. That's why they did the things they did. And, and sometimes we do. We have to just forgive them because that's the way they grew up. That's the way the things they went through in life. And they themselves didn't know any other way but that way because of what they've been through.
Yes. And I think my healing and mending our relationship has helped the both of us tremendously. Yes.
I feel it's very important sometimes to forgive because I feel that holding on to anger and holding on to resentment sometimes can be more painful than anything else and can actually hurt us, mentally and physically by holding on. And sometimes it's more relieving to forgive. And sometimes you don't even have to hear the person say, I'm sorry. You just, in your heart, forgive them for the actions they did and let go. And being able to do that could change you as a person and can let go of that heaviness that you feel in your heart or on top of your shoulders and help you move forward in life as well.
Yes, and sometimes people are not sorry. Not this was not that was not the case in this situation. But I think compassion and understanding where she was coming from, what enabled me to forgive.
Now, for someone who's listening and feels broken right now, what would you tell them?
If you are feeling broken right now, just know that's, I think that we've all been there in some way, right? Of course, you heard my story.
Yeah.
I've been there a few times. And just know that when I ran for my life with that suitcase, and I just kept thinking, I left everything behind. Where am I going to go? I didn't even have any place to go.
Right.
So my life might have been reduced to a suitcase, but I
Yeah.
my life. And if there's life, there's still hope. Honey, it's not over.
Yeah.
The right now is not the ending,
Right.
right? So you take what you've learned from it all and you action right now. So you can have a better future. Yes, it feels dim. It feels bad. I know, been there. But you're still here and there's still hope.
100%, 100%. Now, what's the first step to rebuilding? Because a lot of times people don't even know where to start.
Oh, well, that's completely understandable. Because when I got to Las Vegas, I restarted my life in Las Vegas. I always say Las Vegas is where I found myself. A strange thing for someone to say since we're known as the capital of sin. It's really a lot more than that. And when I got to Las Vegas and I was staying with a friend and I could restart my life, again, I have this little suitcase. God, that suitcase is no longer around.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even know who I was. Who am I? I don't even know what I like. Well, how do I like to dress? What I like, because I was being told what to do. I was being told who I am. I was being
Yep.
told where to go at all times. I was being completely controlled. And I said,
Yeah.
shell of a human. I'm sitting there like, who is this person? I don't even know.
Yeah.
So I had time to discover who I was.
Right.
How do I want to dress? Because then I could put on whatever I wanted, right?
Yes.
Style do I like? It turns out that I love fashion. Oh, how much do I love fashion?
Yeah.
And it turned out that I have this great sense of humor I didn't even know I had. I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah.
So you just have to be very patient with yourself. It is difficult because you think, oh, now here I am, and now I have to do XYZ, and it's very overwhelming.
Right.
But be patient with yourself, especially if you come out of that, you were the frog and you were in this, you were being cooked and you were so far deep into this and you lost who
Yeah.
you were. Your self-esteem was zero. People
Right.
knew how awful you were all the time, right?
Yep.
You couldn't. Right, you could even load the dishwasher right, you could put things in the refrigerator right, wash the clothes right, whatever. So
Yep.
you don't know who you are because you were stuck down in this muck of it all.
Yeah.
Have fresh air. I said when I got on that plane from West Virginia to Minneapolis, it was like my freedom flight. I felt like
Yeah.
just descended out of just the murky, muddy, nasty waters, right?
Right.
So you just have to be patient and give yourself a little grace and love with that one.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. Now, you wrote an amazing book. Can you tell everybody what the book is? And can you tell everybody a little bit of a synopsis of it so they know what it's about and where they can find it?
Okay, so my life story is called Becoming Mother Martha, and everything that we were talking about, and then some. Is in this book. It talks about how, the car accident was the catalyst to becoming Mother Martha and what it felt like and the journey through that. And when I discovered myself, I decided that it was time for me to get on a plane and I hug Jeffrey in person for saving
Yeah.
me. And it was a very emotional. He met me at the airport. I went to the orphanage. Jeffrey, he turned out to be a fine young man. He also started a charitable foundation there. My thing was, I wanted him to pay it forward. I told him, when I put you through school, I want you to pay it forward. His dream was to be a lawyer. That was his dream. And I said, I put you through school. I want you to pay it forward. I don't want anything returned. I want you to do some kind act for somebody else. I don't care if you just buy them a meal, anything, give them a ride, whatever. Said he started a charitable foundation and he has helped many others coming out of orphanages to get job skills. So I toured the place, the foundation in which he started, and he is doing wonderful with that still. And I talk about my adventures in Uganda and the things that happened. And it's a full circle moment when I return to the US, and I decided that I needed to make peace with what happened to me in West Virginia, because this abuse and my family issues all happened in West Virginia. So it was a full circle moment. I went to all the places where bad things had happened to me, where traumatic, horrible things had happened to me. And thankfully, the people that had bought the house were very kind for me to return so I could do this. And when I stood there, I realized that I had become Mother Martha, that all of those things that were so scary to me. Because when I was in what I call my exile in Minneapolis, I was terrified of this man and of this place, and he's going to find me and do all these things. And as I'm standing there in the front yard from the place that I ran from, were all of these awful things that had happened to me. And I thought, this is what I was afraid of? Oh, please. I have been. Since then, I have done all these things and realized that I am not that person anymore. That's when I was really like, I'm not that person. I'm Mother Martha now. Tell them they can't even bother me at this point. So that was really the aha moment when I knew that I could put it all in the past.
That's amazing. Now, where can people find your book?
You can find it on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
And if there was three things that you would want people to walk away with from this conversation today, what are three things you'd like the listeners to remember from our conversation?
When you live a life of purpose, it helps keep you motivated. It helps to drive you, no matter what the purpose might be. Not to help children. Maybe it's to build a business, or maybe it's whatever your dream life is. Has a different thing that makes them happy or what they want to be. And just remember, you're still here. It's not too late. You can take action right now. And I also want them to walk away with mindset. It could have been very easy for me to just roll over and say, I give up. And honestly, there were times when I wanted to do that. We all want to do that. I mean, what's easy for anyone, right? Nothing in the world keeps us from having adversities. We can have all the titles and the money and the fame and everything. I mean, we're all at the end of the day, and we all face adversities. Yes. So if you're here, there's still hope. There's still hope.
I love it. I love it. And can you tell people about the services that you provide?
Well, I'm a nurse and an author. And as I said, I have Mother Martha Family Foundation. And I told you about our work in Uganda. And what I have going forward is I have a book releasing in May. It's called 2020 Year of the Nurse, A Nurse Journey Through the Front Lines.
I love it.
What I'm doing now is I want to tell people what it was like to be a nurse in 2020. And the reason for that is because of what is happening in our healthcare today. Yes, there are a lot of issues. We've had historic numbers of nursing strikes. You've been to the hospital lately. You know, we are understaffed. Patient safety is an issue, and a lot of things are left over from 2020. And also, I want to set the record straight about what happened in 2020. I feel like there were a lot of misinformation about what we were seeing on the front lines, about what was happening inside hospitals.
I agree. Now, and when is that book due to be released?
Okay, so our release date is May the 22nd.
Okay. And where will they probably be able to find that book?
It'll be on Amazon and Barnes and Noble as well.
Wonderful. And where can they find you?
Okay, so our website has had some technical difficulties. So right now our website is mommartha.org. And on there we talk about what we do in Uganda, and my books can be found on there.
And are you also on social media?
I am on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
I love it. I love it. So for the listeners out there, I want you to know that some people survive, some people rebuild. Some people turn their pain into purpose. Martha's story reminds us that even the darkest chapters can lead to something meaningful. So never give up and always move forward. And I have to tell you, I am so honored that you came to, today to be on our show. You're an amazing woman and you've been through so much. And we only really tapped into briefly different areas of your life because there's so much to tell and there's so much detail to go over. And I hope you'll be on our show again and we can talk more in depth because there's a lot of topics that you really touch base on that people struggle with on a day-to-day basis. But, in these traumatic events that you did go through in life and you went through a lot, you overcame the crisis. You really, you tackled your obstacles and you turned it into something beautiful by helping others. You took your own experiences and you turned it into something meaningful, something with purpose, and you helped so many individuals. And I think you're just an amazing woman. And I just want to say thank you so much for what you do. And I really do honor what you do, and I honor you. I think what you're just amazing. And I hope you're an inspiration to others, so others can be an advocate and not give up, and be able to turn their own obstacles that they go through in life, and use it for something meaningful and something with purpose and to help others, because we always gain knowledge through the obstacles that we go through. And if we can turn those not that knowledge into something meaningful where we could reach out and just even just help one person, and that one person helps another person, and another person helps another person, imagine how beautiful the world can be. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing and just thank you for being you. And, and thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show to share your story and be an inspiration to others. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Well, I hope you have a great day and I look forward to maybe having you on the show in the future.
Yes, let's do this again.
Definitely.